Hey friends, it's Jay. Just a little announcement before we dive into the episode. This is going to be the last episode of the show for a little while. I wish I had a more concrete date, a concrete return date for you, but as of now, I'm not sure. I'm taking a little bit of a hiatus from podcasting, from writing, from social media. My consultations are currently closed. I am really going through it, to put it lightly and to not get super personal. And I have tried in several different ways to kind of reduce my schedule in certain ways so that I still have energy to do this kind of content creation, but I just keep getting signals and hitting walls and being told to pull back. And I feel like I just need to take the energy that I have and turn it completely inward. And so that's what I'm going to do. And yeah, I'm really not sure what that means. Like I said, I really don't know when I'll be back, but I wanted to let you guys know so that I don't just disappear. And thank you for, you know, listening, for messaging me. But when you like episodes, it's always so lovely. I'm always so grateful to see that you're listening and to hear from you. And I love this show and I know that I will be back. I just don't know when. I just need to nap for, I don't know, 2 months or something. But yeah, take care of yourselves. Don't put your health last. Your body is so important and it deserves love and respect. And yeah, I hope you're all doing really well. I hope you continue to do well. I so look forward to when we will connect again. But we still have this episode, so please enjoy. Catch you in the cosmos, y'all. Hey friends, welcome back to Metacosmios, a podcast with astrological forecasts for pasts and other cosmic chit-chat. I'm your host, Jay, translator of Planetary Cadence, also known as an astrologer. Thanks so much for being here. Well, it's just me this week, folks. First solo episode in a little while. I hope you've been enjoying the guest episodes. They've been really fun to record. They've been such awesome conversations, in my humble opinion. And I've got more to come, more guests lined up, so more fun conversations coming your way. How are you all feeling? Are you navigating this Mercury retrograde, this time betwixt and between eclipses? Although that's where I am as I currently record this. By the time you hear it, eclipse season will be over. So how was eclipse season for you? I hope it wasn't too topsy-turvy, too rocky and bumpy. It was definitely, it is currently a weird time with both Mercury retrograde and the eclipses happening all in the same time period. You know, Mercury's retrograde in Aries. There's an upcoming solar eclipse in Aries. Of course, we already have the North Node in Aries. There's a lot of Aries stuff for sure. And just a lot of like weird, you know, backwards or breaks in usual patterning with all of this sort of like reversal energy happening. There's been so many tech issues. I'm 4 days into the retrograde, so 4 days into April, and nearing the solar eclipse. There's been so many tech mishaps so far, so many websites going down. But I feel really like fired up and passionate, unsurprising, because this is all happening in Aries and I am a Mars ruled person. So I'm already kind of there a lot of the time, but I'm really feeling it, but in a good way. Like I'm energized by it. And I know that won't be the case for everybody. So hopefully by the time you're listening to this, we're nearly out of the woods, and you're seeing a sense of purpose around it all. I know it's probably a weird time, that is for sure. We've also got one of the biggest astrology happenings of 2024 coming up really soon as you listen to this, with Jupiter and Uranus making a conjunction in Taurus on April 20th. I did consider talking about the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction for this episode, but I haven't really been forecasting very much these days. A little bit here and there, but it's more like in the present moment kind of stuff. If you're not on my newsletter list, which come join us, please. Would love for you to be there, or not checking out my Substack, because I'm also posting there. Quick tangent, totally appropriate for this time period of astrology. Newsletter subscribers get early access to my writing, early access to this podcast, plus exclusive discounts, exclusive giveaways. But then I will post my writing on Substack a couple of days later, sometimes a week later, but there's no early access or anything over there. But if you're just looking for my writing, you can go and check me out. I think it's damnfinewitch.substack.com. I'll link it. Anyways, if you're not checking that stuff out, if you're not on the newsletter list, if you're not checking out my Substack, you might not know that I kind of decided to stop doing weekly forecasts altogether. I'd been feeling so out of alignment, like my head and my heart always so in the future and never really in the present moment. And I found I was thinking and theorizing about astrology more than actually living and experiencing it, which is a total occupational hazard for a lot of astrologers, but I needed a break. And I'm not saying I'll never go back to forecasting, but I'm happy not doing it right now. I'm really enjoying like feeling into the transits as they are happening and seeing what messages kind of come through like while I'm living it. So I'll probably talk about the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in retrospect. But if you are looking for some info, I did talk about it in a previous episode. I talked about it a little bit in a previous episode, the episode where I was reviewing 2023 and then previewing 2024. So you can check that out in the meantime if you're interested. Plus, there's tons of people forecasting, so you're not going to miss out. But right now, at this moment in time, you know, like I've said a couple of times, Mercury's retrograde, that's really where my head is at. And I think the retrogrades are maybe kind of a theme for me this year, because I wrote an article for the Association of Young Astrologers back in January, and that was all about the end of 2023 retrograde, beginning of 2024 retrograde. It was really impactful for me. So, you know, I kicked off the calendar year thinking about retrogrades. I'm here again thinking about retrogrades. I think it's going to be a 2024 thing for me. And like I said, I'm like feeling really fired up about it. And again, no surprise, it's happening in Aries and it's ruled by Mars. And Mars is, you know, my ascendant ruler is Mars. I'm also in a Mars-ruled perfection year. So it's just making sense. But yeah, I've been really preoccupied thinking about this retrograde and retrogrades in general, and how it's a part of astrology that is so much in the mainstream these days, at least, you know, very much in particular Mercury retrograde. And on the one hand, that's really cool. And it is maybe how a lot of people come to connect a little bit deeper with astrology. You know, they see all the memes and they're like, all right, what the fuck is this about? Like, let me check it out. But I find a lot of the discussion around Mercury retrograde is really backwards. Retrograde motion, pun intended. But for real, I think we get it wrong in a lot of ways and really kind of do a disservice to ourselves and to astrology in talking about it in such like simplistic terms, I guess. One of the biggest issues for me is like seeing people talking about like Mercury retrograde survival guide, survival tips for Mercury retrograde. And it's like, Mercury retrograde isn't something we have to survive. It's maybe not a time to thrive, but it's a chance to slow down, to revisit something, to refresh and reorganize an area of life, to clean out the clutter. I think Mercury retrograde kind of really stands in opposition to hustle culture and capitalism and constant productivity. And maybe that's why there's such a collective misunderstanding, collective fear, misgivings. I don't know. I'm not coming up with the right word here. Classic Mercury retrograde. But there's like, it comes into opposition with this like, you know, base operating system that we've been growing up with for so long now. And I feel like we don't allow a lot of like space or grace for thinking in different ways, for slower processing of information. And it's like mistakes are the worst things that we can do. You know, like I see people, and myself included, so afraid to make mistakes. Like how awful to make an error, have a miscommunication. And sometimes, yeah, really bad or, you know, super annoying, but also a potential opportunity to recalibrate, realign in some way. Like, did we rush something that needed more time and that's where the mistake or the miscommunication kind of came in? Do we need to practice better listening skills? Do we need to seek more information before we speak on something? There's so many ways to approach it that are so much more helpful than being in fear of a retrograde or just assuming that it's going to annoy us. And I wrote more about this for my newsletter, which by the time you're reading this, that will also be available over on my Substack. So I'm not going to keep beating the same drum here. Instead, today I want to take us on a brief exploration of the different types of Mercury that can appear in the chart. Because of course, you can be born while Mercury is retrograde or while Mercury is direct, right? But there are different phases within Mercury's direct motion, within Mercury's retrograde motion, because Mercury has this cycle with the sun. And each part of that cycle, each phase of that cycle will make for a little bit of a different flavored Mercury. And this is still something I'm really, you know, sinking my teeth into in terms of like the Mercury's solar phase cycle, it's sometimes called, or synodic cycle, Mercury's cycle with the sun. I think I'm going to potentially put together some kind of workshop or class around Mercury's cycle, but I've got more research to do. So today will just be a jumping off point, so to speak. It'll by no means be a complete treatment or, you know, totally comprehensive look at this, but hopefully just like something to offer a new bit of insight into Mercury's cycle, into the kind of Mercury that you have in your chart. And it's also something that we can follow throughout the year as Mercury moves in the sky. And maybe it helps you kind of get a different perspective on the way you think, the way you learn and communicate and process information and the kinds of intellectual stimulation that you might be drawn towards. And before we dive into the different phases of Mercury, the different types of Mercury, just really quickly for anyone who might not be aware, Mercury is our planet of the mind and mental function. It is about communication, words, language, ideas, and information. And mercurial people, so people with lots of placements or very important placements in the signs of Gemini and Virgo, tend to be quite chatty and curious. You know, there's an analytical mind. There's an information seeking. Mercury can speak to how you think, what interests you, how you express what's on your mind. its placement in the chart can help us understand the style of a person's communication. Are they very practical, analytical? Are they direct? Do they have more of an emotional approach? Do they really communicate better with, you know, music or dance or some kind of art? Mercury can also speak to money, business deals and negotiations, and like the selling of things. It's also about measurement and numbers, and it has to do with technology. It's a planet of messages. And, you know, the fact that we carry technology and like this connection to social interactions around with us all day in our pockets, and just that we're always like connected in that way, that's probably part of the reason why Mercury retrograde feels so in your face sometimes. But maybe again, like that's an opportunity to rethink our relationship to our devices. But yeah, okay, so that's a bit about Mercury. Now let's get into the Mercury Sun cycle and how that creates these different styles of Mercury that show up in the chart. So all planets are going to have their own cycle with the Sun. Many of you are probably most familiar with the interactions between the Sun and the Moon. And the moon phases are, you know, in direct response to the ongoing relationship and ongoing cycle that the moon has with the sun. And all planets are going to have their own version of this. The sun will make annual conjunctions with all of the planets. Some planets will have oppositions with the sun as well. Mercury never gets far enough from the sun to sit opposite from it. In fact, Mercury will only ever conjunct the Sun because it just never gets far enough to make any other aspects. And it will form a handful of those conjunctions or kazimis throughout the year. Mercury will also shift and change from being a morning star to evening star back and forth. And that will impact whether or not we see Mercury in the morning sky or in the evening sky. So, you know, before sunrise, after sunrise. Sometimes we can't see Mercury at all because it's so close to the sun. And that does take up a lot of time. Mercury spends a lot of time pretty close to the sun. But so there's all these different phases of Mercury's cycle with the sun. And depending on where in that cycle Mercury was when you were born, will determine what kind of Mercury you have in your chart. So a really quick overview of the solar phase cycle for Mercury. We'll start with what's called the inferior conjunction. And this is when the Sun and Mercury meet at the exact same degree of the same zodiac sign while Mercury is moving retrograde. This is kind of like a new moon for Mercury. It's the beginning of a cycle, and it represents a kind of renewal and rebirth. So after that conjunction, Mercury will continue to move backwards, continuing its retrograde motion, and the Sun will continue to move forwards. And eventually, we'll start to see Mercury in the morning sky because it's going to rise before the Sun. Eventually, Mercury will station direct. But at that time, it's going to be moving very slowly, and it'll continue to gain distance from the sun, which is moving at its regular pace. So then the sun and Mercury will get far enough away from each other, the furthest that they will ever get, and it's what's called maximum elongation. So Mercury and the sun are at their furthest distance from each other, and then Mercury begins to ramp up in speed. It begins to get its natural pacing and rhythm back. And it's going to start moving direct. While it's already stationed direct, it's picking up speed. It's moving back towards the sun, and eventually it'll get close enough to the sun that once again it disappears, and we know then that another conjunction is coming. And this one is called the superior conjunction. And it would be sort of similar to the full moon in terms of, you know, where it's happening in the cycle. But Mercury is not opposite the sun in the way that the moon would be. It's actually, you know, conjunct. Again, it's kazimi, the sun. This time, that superior conjunction is when Mercury is moving direct. And after that conjunction, Mercury is going to keep moving direct, keep moving further away from the sun, eventually getting enough distance so that we see it appear in the evening sky after sunset. Mercury will keep moving along, keep moving quite quickly, and reach its maximum elongation or greatest elongation on the other side, this time in the evening sky. And within about 10-ish days of that, Mercury will station retrograde once more. And then the Sun and Mercury will once again be moving towards each other, heading for that inferior conjunction once more and the beginning of a new cycle. Hope all of that made sense. Definitely hit me up if you need some further explanation. So, all of us were born at some point on this Mercury cycle, right? So, all of us are going to have one of these phases in our chart, just like we all have a particular moon phase in our chart. So now we'll take a brief look at each of them, and I'll also explain how you can figure out which phase is in your chart. So my approach with interpreting these phases really comes more, or really is more centered around Mercury's speed, Mercury's direction, and its distance from the sun, and kind of using those factors to interpret how a particular Mercury is going to be showing up. So the first phase of Mercury really begins at that inferior conjunction when the Sun and Mercury meet and Mercury is moving retrograde, and it continues until the direct station. So we might call this the retrograde motion morning star. If you were born during this time, let's say inferior conjunction, your Sun and Mercury will be at the same degree and Mercury will be retrograde. And if you've never looked at your chart to see if Mercury is retrograde, there might be like, find the Mercury symbol. The Mercury symbol itself might be red or a different color from the Sun and Moon. And it might have a little R next to it or an RX, or some sort of symbol to indicate that it is in retrograde motion. And then if your Mercury is just retrograde, but it's a morning star, that means that Mercury will be behind the Sun in zodiacal order. So for example, if your Sun is at 20 degrees of Aries, your Mercury could be anywhere from 19 Aries, 18 Aries, 17 Aries, and so on and so forth. If you were born at the direct station, your Mercury will probably have an S near it just to indicate that it is stationing, and it will once again be back to the same color as the Sun and the Moon. Now, this Mercury is a slower moving Mercury, and then it's mostly a motionless Mercury when it hits that direct station. But this is when a new cycle begins, as I said, right? So there's this sense of renewal and rebirth, being in search of something new, new ideas, new possibilities, new ways of living, new forms of creative expression. There's a very curious energy, a beginner's mind type of energy with this Mercury. This Mercury is very future focused, and it might actually have some difficulty in understanding why others aren't as interested in forging these new paths or in, you know, trying something in a new way, in seeing something from new perspectives, different perspectives. At this point in the cycle, Mercury is retrograde. It is moving away from the sun. And so it's moving away from that central point, that central figure of the solar system. And, you know, symbolically, it's moving away from that which things are centered around. So we might think of this as like societal norms in a way, or like mainstream kind of stuff. And the backwards motion, in addition to moving away from the sun, I think could indicate a rebellious quality, a kind of pushing back on and even seeking independence from those social conventions. This might be a Mercury that contradicts and disobeys and wants things to be differently, wants to do things differently. Now, because it is retrograde, there could be difficulty in doing mercurial things, which will likely be the most potent as Mercury reaches that retrograde station. But this might just mean that, you know, if you have this Mercury, you just might learn in different ways and ways that maybe aren't always supported in our educational systems. You might feel like you're not always heard or understood. Maybe you don't get as many chances to actually use your voice, or there might be an inhibition in using your voice. Understanding information might take a little longer. You might just process things in different ways that, you know, don't always make sense to everybody else. Maybe you're slower to integrate or memorize, or you just do these things differently, you know? Working against the grain, which I think is representative of this more rebellious Mercury, can be really hard, right? It's not as supported as working with the grain. So it might feel like there's less resources, or maybe like you know, with Mercury stuff, it's one step forward and two steps back. There's kind of a sweet spot, like the further Mercury gets from the sun, but kind of before it hits that direct station and fully slows down, there's kind of a sweet spot there with like maybe some more positive iterations of this Mercury phase. The next phase for Mercury will be while it's moving direct in that morning star position until it hits the next conjunction with the sun, the superior conjunction. So this is the direct motion morning star Mercury. Now, if you've got Mercury moving direct, again, it'll be the symbol for Mercury will be the same color as the sun and the moon. And I keep saying that because the sun and the moon never retrograde, so they'll always be kind of the default color in the chart. So anyways, your Mercury symbol will be the same color. It'll still be sitting behind the sun in zodiacal order. So again, sun at 20 degrees Aries, Mercury could be anywhere from 19 Aries, 18 Aries, 17 Aries. It's maybe probably also in Pisces at this point. If you are born near the superior conjunction or on the superior conjunction, your Mercury and the sun will be at the same degree of the zodiac. This time Mercury will be direct. So this is a Mercury that is beginning to pick up speed and then moving at its quickest. And I think actually when it reaches that conjunction again, it's moving at its absolute fastest pace. Now, when planets station direct, it's kind of like they've had a really good rest and they're gaining their strength back. They're gaining their speed back. So once Mercury really gets going, it has a much easier time being the sort of basic Mercury and the most stereotypical Mercury. And by that, I just mean like the most kind of pure expression of Mercury. It's got more opportunities to express itself. It'll be less inhibited in those expressions. This might be the type of Mercury that, you know, our mind can get ahead of ourselves. We're kind of quicker to process information, so we might project a little far into the future. This might be the kind of Mercury where we need to like pull our mind back into the present moment, but it might also make for really great abstract thinkers. And as Mercury moves forward, it's looking for new data, new experiences. It's still in that first half of the cycle, so we could say that it really still has that future-focused energy. It's moving towards the sun now, though, so there's a little less resistance towards those societal norms and conventions, or perhaps at least less of a need to feel totally separate from them in a way. There's something about this Mercury that feels a little more persuasive. Like it has all these new ideas. It's been through that retrograde phase of seeding the new ideas, seeing the potential of doing things differently, but now it's moving with the current, so to speak. And so it's like going to be able to bring these ideas to the mainstream or to the people that need to hear the ideas and bring it in a way that can like win minds over, kind of. But yeah, generally this would be a Mercury that functions fairly typically, effective communicators. You know, the energy could be a little bit more assertive. Morningstar planets are said to be a little more outward in their expression, a little more extroverted and individualistic in a way. You know, they appear before the sun rises, right? So there's this quality of being out there and being visible and kind of shooting your shot in a way. However, the closer Mercury gets to the sun, the less visible it will become, and the more challenging its overall experience is likely to be. And when I say Mercury being close to the sun, I'm very specifically talking about like an 8-degree range on either side of the sun. This is when a planet is most impacted by just the strength of the sun, the strength of its heat and of its light. And we just don't see it, the planet that's near the sun, in the way that we would see it if it was further from the sun. But that could mean, so if your Mercury is closer to the sun in this respect, that might mean, you know, all the same things that I just said, but some of these things are being done behind the scenes, or there's like a secretive aspect to them, or they're being done in service of some sort of leader or something. You know, Mercury's working, operating from the shadows of the sun. So there's just a less visible quality to it all. So the next Mercury phase would run from, so I should say that after Mercury hits that superior conjunction, it moves into the evening star phase because it'll be rising after the sun. So the next phase for Mercury would be when it's in its direct evening star phase until it hits the next retrograde station. So this is the direct motion evening star Mercury. Now, if you've got a direct moving evening star Mercury, your Mercury is going to be in front of the sun. It rises after, but it's in front in zodiacal order. So if your sun still 20 degrees Aries, Mercury would be at 21 degrees Aries, 22, 23. It might even move into Taurus. If you were born at the retrograde station, again, your Mercury will have like a little S somewhere near it to indicate that it is stationing, and it will likely be, again, a different color from the sun or the moon to indicate that it is retrograde. But we're very specifically in this phase talking about if you were born at the retrograde station. So that would be the day. So there would be an S just to indicate stationing, to indicate that Mercury is not really moving at this time. So this is a Mercury that is first moving rather quickly as it hits that conjunction with the sun and keeps moving direct, moving at a fairly good clip, but it's going to begin to slow down and then losing its pace and then not moving at all when it hits that retrograde station. As Mercury begins to move away from the sun after that superior conjunction, it's kind of like somebody recovering from an illness and like being able to get out of bed and live life more fully once again. And so in this phase, we still have a direct motion Mercury. So we will still see some of those easier sort of expressions of the basic, like typical Mercury, pure expression of Mercury, especially as it gets further from the sun. It'll have those opportunities to express itself. It's going to want to express itself. But now we're in the evening star phase. And the evening star phase is thought to be a little more socially inclined. So the thinking here is perhaps less individualistic. Might be about how to take all of those ideas and insights that we had in the first half of the cycle and apply them to a kind of social experience or to our social experience. However, Mercury is moving away from the sun once again, although this time it's moving in the same direction as the sun. So it's almost like Mercury is attempting to see the potential for where its ideas and visions can take all of us. At this point in its cycle, Mercury has some experience, so to speak. Like it can see what's worked in the past and integrate that into how it moves forward into the future. It has like kind of like a respect or can see the value of things that have stood the test of time, like the patterns that have worked over this cycle. So there could be like an interest in history with this kind of Mercury. There's definitely a goal-oriented approach here, a mind that is very results-focused. I would say there's also a carefulness to the mind. The evening star phase feels a lot more like the Virgo style of Mercury, whereas the morning star phase kind of has more Gemini vibes to me, you know, that really like curious and like information and new input seeking kind of energy that we get from Gemini. But then with Virgo, there's more of a practical and analytical approach, like a we're applying our information in practical ways. So there's kind of like, there's this sense of purpose and wanting to follow through on all of the big and exciting ideas from the first half of the cycle, and then kind of refining the approach to make it more efficient as well. And then finally, we have the phase that would run from after that retrograde station all the way back to the inferior conjunction and the beginning of the cycle. So this would be the retrograde motion, evening star Mercury. And if you've got a retrograde evening star, Mercury will still be in front of the sun in zodiacal order. So again, if your sun is at 20 degrees Aries, Mercury could be anywhere from 21, 22, 23 degrees Aries. It might even be in Taurus. And of course, we already talked about where Mercury would be if you were born at that inferior conjunction. This Mercury is slower and slower moving. We're going to have some similar energies to the morning star retrograde energy because Mercury is retrograde once again. So there could still be some, or there could also be some difficulty surrounding mercurial things. And I should, you know, specify that when I say mercurial things, that can be related to general Mercury things. So communication, learning, language, all the stuff that I outlined before we really got into the different types of Mercury. But it could also be about, and probably will, you know, almost 100% be about the Gemini and Virgo areas of your chart and all of the topics and relationships that that influences in the life, as well as the placement of your natal Mercury. So it'll have a great influence over Gemini and Virgo, and then it will have some sort of influence or impact in regards to the actual specific house placement. But the difference here between the morning and evening star retrograde phase is that there might be, in this case with the evening star, there might be less of an outwardly rebellious quality and more of like a, I'm not necessarily into the way everyone else is doing this thing, or I don't learn and process and think in the same way that other people do, but I'm kind of less bothered by it in a way. There is definitely some potential discouragement around the status quo, or at least there could be. You know, this Mercury can, at this point in the cycle, it can see where things have gone wrong in the past. You know, they can see the errors in the patterns. This is why I feel it's more Virgo in that way too, because Virgo can be so great at seeing the imperfections. But it's more inwardly focused, and it's going to like work to fix those things without talking about it so much, I guess. But yeah, this Mercury is nearing the end of its cycle. It's seen some shit, you know? It's getting a little tired and it's kind of content to keep to itself, do its own thing. It's much more introspective energy, maybe like seeking more of an inner meaning. I think this is the kind of Mercury that might spend plenty of time in states of contemplation and reflection. Since Mercury is moving so slowly during this period, I kind of see it as a type that is content to work on their own timeline, you know, wouldn't be rushed to meet someone else's deadlines. And so perhaps not as reliable with schedules and timing and all of that, but the type that just works better at their own pace. Like that's how they're going to learn the best. That's how they're going to achieve their best results. So yeah, this is just a very introductory glance, a very 101 at these Mercury types. Hopefully it wasn't confusing. Hopefully I made the information clear. I'm always open to getting emails, damfinewitch@gmail.com. You can DM me on Instagram at Jasmine's Astrology. Let me know what didn't make sense or if you got it and you loved it or whatever. But very introductory glance here, very basics. And of course, all of this is going to be impacted by the house and sign placement of your Mercury and then like any aspects that it's involved in. That's all going to add a different flavor. You know, for example, you might have Mercury that's moving direct and in the morning star phase. So it's more assertive and it's more outward, right? And it has all these opportunities because it's moving direct, but it's placed in the 12th house, which is an area of the chart where planets tend to have more difficulty in manifesting their significations. So I can speak to that from personal experience. I have a morning star direct Mercury, but it's in the 12th house. So it's kind of a mishmash of energies there, you know, and like they have to, it's like a layer cake, like they all kind of have to combine together. Maybe your Mercury is in that 12th house, but it's moving retrograde, and maybe those potential retrograde difficulties just aren't as potent for you because it's kind of hidden away in the 12th house. It's also important to note, and I think I did try to make this clear as I was moving through, but the more distance that Mercury has from the sun, the better it will typically function. Planets that get close to the sun do tend to be weakened because that sun is just so darn powerful. It's, you know, it's the brightest thing, right? Again, that might just mean that your Mercury stuff happens behind the scenes, or if you're really close to the, if the Mercury is really close to the sun, your Mercury stuff might be in service of a solar type figure. So some kind of leader, or, you know, you work in support positions, not necessarily work, but, you know, it could be one of the significations. And there are other theories as well, you know, that state that a morning star Mercury will, its activity will begin early in the life and then continue throughout, whereas an evening star Mercury's activity would emerge later in life. And there are so many other variations. Every chart, every Mercury is going to be its own unique thing. So these phases are just meant to add another layer to that cake and hopefully give us another way of looking at our natal Mercury, but also at transiting Mercury, like Mercury that's in the sky right now, and how we can work better with its constantly shifting energies. And also to kind of pull us back and be like, retrograde is just one part of this cycle. And even within the retrograde, there are these different energies and iterations. All right. I hope this has been helpful. Like I said, feel free to reach out with any questions you might have. And if you are enjoying this show, if you found this episode helpful, if you think you know somebody that might be interested in it, please share it. As I say, sharing is caring, my cosmic companions. Leave me a review on, you know, your podcast player, or share this, share me, share my work on social media. I don't know, however you want to network and be Gemini and Mercurial about it, get the word out there. I would really appreciate it. I'd be super grateful. It would really make my day. Either way, I'm really grateful that you're here and that you're listening, and I'll be back soon with another episode. But until then, I'll catch you in the cosmos.